You at least have a better chance of finishing a week. Amen. All right. Amen. I'm just kidding. We're not preaching 3 hours. All right. I'm in a hurry tonight. I'm always in a hurry when I preach, and I'm in a hurry again tonight. All right. We are going to be looking at Luke 15 in just a moment. But as you're turning there, first I want to say thank you to the church for putting me up and for putting up with me this week. Amen. I really appreciate that. The room over there has been perfect for me. I appreciate the gift from my wife. I haven't even told her yet that y'all gave her a bag last night, but she'll get it tomorrow. I'm going to surprise her when I get there. And thank you for going out of the way to watch for my diabetes, amen, and making sure that I have good food and good snack sticks and all kinds of healthy stuff. And I appreciate also the Hewitts taking care of me as well, feeding me lunches this week. And Miss Hewitt ironed my shirt today, and Brother Hewitt ironed my trousers, amen. And I appreciate that, amen. And I appreciate the fellowship. I appreciate the 2:30 in the morning stuff. Amen. Glad my wife was home. Amen. So she could heal up. Amen. But we love y'all very much and just thank the Lord for you and for your faithful prayers and support. We're going to read in just a moment. We're going to read Luke 15. I want to read two other verses first. Just say a few words and then go to Luke 15. So I'm going to read. So you just listen real closely. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Verse 7 and 8, I just want to give just a couple thoughts before we get to our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. The Bible said, actually I'll back up to verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. This meeting's been maybe a little different for the church than maybe some of the past missions conferences, in that we've mixed really a Who Will Go themed meeting with a Faith Promise missions conference. And our Who Will Go themed meetings, we're always focusing on men. We're always focusing on people who will go, not near as much as money and who will give. But I do believe I'd be remiss tonight not to talk about money just for a few moments before we get into our text. And so I wanted to look at these verses because I do recognize this is a missions conference. And I'm quite sure as a church, I know that you support missionaries. But I also know that we want to grow in the grace of giving. Amen. Every year. Man, when my boys were little, I'd buy them a little suit jacket they'd come to church in. But next year, I'd have to get a little bigger suit jacket. And next year, I'd have to get a little bigger suit jacket because they were growing. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I can't fit Jimmy at the age of 23, amen, in the suit he wore when he was 9. Amen. That's how it is with our giving. Amen. This year's missionary presentations, amen. Last year's giving won't fit this year's missions, amen. We've got to grow in giving. So I want to just challenge the church here. I know you've heard this outline before out of these verses, but I want to remind the church, when the time comes to fill out those Faith Promise missions commitment card, the Bible teaches us in these passages that missions giving and Faith Promise giving, it's personal giving. The Bible said every man. This is something that men, women, boys, and girls can be involved in. Amen. I taught my boys from little on up to give to the work of God, not just their tithes, but to give missions. Amen. My second son's about to get married June the 18th, and we're going over a budget. Here just the other day, going over a budget, and he had to sell some things. Amen. It was either a wife or some... or a truck, amen. He had to sell the truck, amen. And trying to get that budget together, but he never looked one time and said, Dad, I'm giving X amount, and he gives a large amount to missions. He never looked one time and said, well, should I cut the missions or the truck payment? He didn't have to ask that. He knew what was right, amen. And he'd rather have a wife and a missions payment than have a wife and a truck payment, amen. Amen. And so I'm saying it's personal, and everybody can get involved, and then it's planned. The Bible said, according as he purposeth in his heart. Amen. And your giving's between you and God. When you fill out that card, you don't have to put your name on that card. I'm pretty sure if it's like Archer, you don't put your name on the card. It's between you and God. Amen. But you're making that commitment. You're purposing in your heart, this is what I'm going to give. And I'm praying for you that every one of you will grow in your giving. This I just am. Amen. You say we're coming out of a pandemic. You're coming out of a plandemic. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. You ought to just plan and purpose that you're going to give more. Amen. You just ought to plan that way. Just plan. Prepare that way. And then we find that it ought to be persistent giving. The Bible said, so let him give. Amen. There's going to be months where you give, and I mean, that paycheck's going to come in, and you're going to get a bonus, and things are going to go well, and it's going to be easy to give. But there's going to be months when I'm talking about the paycheck gets short, amen, and the medical bills go high, and the car breaks down, amen. So let him give. What you purposed in your heart between you and God, stay with it. Amen. Christmas time comes, stay with Faith Promise Missions. A dry January comes, stay with Faith Promise Missions through the good and the bad. Our brother last night got up, Brother Doug's father, and I don't know if anybody else caught this, but he was talking about the ministry that he had been involved in, then his wife passed away, and he said, I haven't done much, but I've pretty much just been faithful. And I thought, just been faithful? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's all God wants. Amen. God may never call you to Asia, Africa, Australia, the Antarctic, or any other place that starts with an A. Amen. But he wants you to be faithful with what you purpose in your heart that you're going to give. Amen. Because, man, your missionaries are counting on that. Amen. And God's counting on that. All right. And then watch this. It's supposed to be positive giving. Amen. Not grudgingly. Don't squeeze Abe Lincoln's beard on that penny till you put a permanent wave in his beard and then say, God be with you till we meet again. Amen. No, sir. No, it's to be cheerful giving. Amen. I mean, he said not grudgingly or of necessity, not because I'm going to tell you something. I don't have to give. I have to give to missions. By the way, every missionary here, I think I can speak for all of us. We give to Faith Promise Missions programs. Amen. I mean, we're not just missionaries. We give missions, amen. And a lot of times, missionary ends up tithing and doing Faith Promise at his home church and at the churches out on the field, amen, so that he can be sent into his home church, but he can be supporting his work and being an example for those on the field as well, amen. I'm just telling you, amen, I love to give. I'm a giver by nature to start with, amen. Then God saved me, and I think he must have given me the gift of giving, amen, because I love to give, amen. I've never had a problem putting money in. Now, some people have problems. It scares some people, but God said, I don't want you to do it grudgingly or of necessity. Well, we had three more missionaries come by and four more over the past year, and we got to try to get it up there. Man, I mean, we ought to be excited about giving. Amen. And then watch this. It's to be proven giving. He said in that second verse, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work. Amen. We give by faith, and as we give by faith, we allow God to prove himself to us. Amen. But my God, hallelujah. I feel like preaching, amen, shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, amen. I've been down the road long enough, and I feel weird saying it because I still feel like I'm a young preacher. But really, man, I've been saved 30 years, amen, been preaching almost 30 years. But I can say this, I've been down the road far enough to be able to tell you that the story of my life is every need supplied and every moment satisfied, amen. Amen. All right, so let's go to Luke chapter number 15. I'm hoping and I'm praying that each one of you will give like those two verses teach us to give. And I hope when that faith, I hope that when you start writing on that card, that God challenges your faith and says, put down a little more. And then when you start to write again, God says, a little more. And I hope you give your pastor a heart attack. Amen. And I hope you support every missionary that's come through that was qualified to be supported over the last year and the ones in this conference. I hope and pray that we can support them for the glory of God. All right, let's go over to Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to have you stand in just a little longer because we're going to read the whole chapter. I promise you, this is not just a preacher promise, amen, that he forgets about when he starts. I will not preach long tonight, all right? You hold me to that promise, all right? Quit saying amen if I go over 20 minutes. I mean that, all right? Luke chapter number 15, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I think the angels in heaven rejoiced right there. Amen. When the Pharisees said, this man receiveth sinners, amen, and eateth with them. I think that the Pharisees were complaining, but the angels were rejoicing. And he spake this parable unto those Pharisees that's complaining. He said, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth Amen. For those that don't believe in repentance, I'll say it again. Over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And Brother Chris preached about some of this the other night. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, amen, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And he never got to that point where he said, make me as one of thy hired servants. Amen. The father was a forgiven father. Amen. He could see his son was repentant. And the father said, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I like it when the church begins to be merry. Amen. Hallelujah. I like it. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet, that means it was fit, that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Brother, Pastor Nichols, would you pray and ask the Lord to bless the service?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. We'll start the 20 minutes rolling right now. Amen. All right. Just for the record. All right. King, I think I heard Dr. James Jones say this one time, as King Henry VIII said to his seventh wife, I won't keep you long, baby. Amen. And so we're going to try to preach as quick as we can, because I am recognizing the hour, and I know you've got another night of missions conference. You've had youth conference last week, and I know that some of you are tired, and you got to work all day tomorrow, so I'm really going to try to be mindful of that. But here's what I want to say. I want to preach on this thought out of this passage tonight, on this, Lord, I'm coming home. Amen. Lord, I'm coming home. And as we look at this passage tonight, the context is the Pharisees, that self-righteous bunch, amen, of Pharisees and scribes, and they were murmuring because publicans and sinners, they were coming out in great numbers to hear the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And Jesus knew what they were thinking, and Jesus knew what they were saying, and so that's the context. We read three parables tonight. If you followed along and paid attention, three stories the Lord gives, that's the context of these stories. He's speaking to these Pharisees that are upset because this man receiveth sinners. Amen. And so what in these parables we learn tonight, there's a message of hope for the publicans. There's a message of love for the Pharisees, and there's a message of faith and forgiveness for his disciples to follow. And so I want to just give you three quick points tonight, and we'll be through. Number one, as we look at this passage and these parables, the first thing I want to try to illustrate is that someone was lost. Someone was lost. The Lord Jesus would give three stories: the story of a lost sheep, the story of lost silver, and the story of not one, but two lost sons. Now, I want you to listen real closely. People get lost just like sheep, hence the story of the sheep. The Bible said all we like sheep have gone astray. People get lost just like the silver coin that the woman lost. The coin was lost through no fault of its own, but through forces over which it had no control. It came under the influence of the power of gravity, and it was gone, lost in the darkness and the dirt. The likeness of the king that was stamped upon it became defiled, and worse still, it had no awareness of being lost. People get lost like these two sons through the rebellion of sin and the pride of self-righteousness. So just as the sheep, just as the silver, and just as the sons, people get lost. And in our, what we're looking at tonight is someone here is lost. And I want to notice the younger son in our text, because, and this is the one that we commonly preach on and preach about. But he went to his father. There came a time he went to his father, and he said, "Father, give me." That's the epitome, that's the essence of selfishness right there. Give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. Now, and parents, I want you to listen real close to what his father did, because this father is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. This father is a type of God. Amen. And I want you to listen to what his father did. The Bible said, watch this, and he divided unto him, he divided unto them his living. He gives to the one we call the prodigal, and he gives to the other as well. They both, we preach it like the prodigal is the only one that ever got his inheritance, amen. They both got their inheritance at this point in time. The one boy, he's outside rebellious, amen, and he's selfish. The other one, I believe he is just as selfish, amen, and had his own self-serving purposes, and that's who the Pharisees are going to be a picture of. Now, I want you parents to listen real close, because this man, I'm not trying to preach on this necessarily, but we'll go through this quickly. Listen, everything that boy would go out and rebel with was a gift given to him by his father. Everything that it was an inheritance that was passed down. Everything he'd rebel with, it didn't belong to him to start with. It came from his father. Every penny that boy would squander, it was never earned by the son. Rather, it was earned by the father and given to the son. His father was a generous man. His father was a good man. And here's my point. His father allowed him to exercise his free will. His father allowed him to move out of the house and go squander every dime that he had. His father did not manipulate his son into living right and doing right as a grown young man. He didn't do that. No, no. And listen, I want you to understand, parents, when a child has wandered far away from home in their heart, all the manipulation in the world isn't going to bring them home. I want to say right here, and again, I'm not trying to preach on parenting tonight, but if you have a rebellious son or a rebellious daughter, the answer is not to try to force them and to manipulate them and to get that behavioral manipulation, and I'm going to make them live right. There's going to come a point in time where you're just going to have to let them go like the father did. Amen. You're going to have to. And allow God to begin working in their heart. And I want to say tonight that when a sinner, listen, what I'm preaching about is where we are. Amen. I mean, this is missions. Amen. It's missions. Someone's lost. Amen. When a sinner wanders far away from God, God is a gentleman. And God does not force men and women and boys and girls against their will. Amen. He will not do that. He will draw them to His will, but He will not force them against their will. Amen. And it'd help us to understand that when we're soul winning and when we're on the mission field, we're not there to force them against their will. We've got to give them, allow them the free will that God gave them. Amen, amen, and amen. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 2, verse 4, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and mercy and forbearance, not knowing that the goodness of God..." Hey, listen again, preacher and parent and those powers and authority. It's the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. Amen. Being mean and being hard and being manipulative never brings folks to repentance. But it's the goodness of God and the riches of His mercy and His kindness and His long-suffering that bring people to repentance. And I can't help but wonder if we don't have any lost sons or lost daughters or lost church members that have wandered away from home, even out of this church and out of the homes represented here. I wonder if we have any children or any I don't know, because I don't know y'all. Amen. If we have any children or grandchildren that's wandered far away from God. And I know we think of somebody wandering away, leaving a Christian home, leaving a pastor's home, leaving a Baptist church and moving to another state. But I made a statement, and I think Brother Chris made a very similar statement, that the Bible tells us he went to the far country. But I want to say tonight, the far country is not always represented in miles. Amen. Many times it's represented in morals. Many times, you can have a kid in the far country in his heart while he's sitting in church listening to the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. The far country's not always showed up in miles. Many times it's morals. Amen. And I can't help but wonder, and I'm just going to preach it all tonight. Amen. And I'm going to try to watch my time. Listen, I promise you that. But listen, I wonder if there's anyone here who's wandered far away from God in your heart tonight. Amen. And you're here because you're supposed to be here, but your heart's not with God. You've wandered away. You're starting towards the far country. Amen. Maybe there's someone that's wandered from their Christian upbringing and far away from God. Can I throw an extra 5 minutes in? Amen. All right. Listen really quickly. Let me just tell you something about the far country. If you're thinking about going in that direction, amen. If your heart's thinking about the far country, I want to tell you something about the far country tonight. The far country is a place that'll take everything you have and give you nothing in return. That's what it did for this boy. Amen. It took his money. It took his morality. It took his youth. It took his vigor. It took his passion. It took his pride. It took his sobriety. It'll take your virginity. It'll take your time. It'll take your testimony. Furthermore, it'll take you away from your family. It'll take you away from friends. You say, well, I don't like my family, and I don't like my church family. This boy thought he had a better set of friends and a better set of family until the far country got to him. Amen. Then he realized he had a loving father at home, and his friends really didn't love him as much as he thought they did. Amen. I'm telling you, the Bible teaches us that when this boy had a need out in the far country, no man gave to him. Man, he had a family. We have a church that loves us, that cares about us, and we want to run out to the far country. Oh, listen, the far country is a place of some tremendously high highs because there's pleasure in sin. First season, Preacher Hall, amen. There's pleasure. There's tremendously high highs, but there's even lower lows. I mean, he got out, man. He had the friends. He had the fortune. He had the fame. He had the money. He had the booze. He had anything he wanted. But it ended up in a hog pen, and he had no friends and no money and no booze and no fortune. It's all gone, and there's no one that'll give to him. And I want to remind you, this boy was a Hebrew. And a Hebrew can't go any lower than a hog pen. A hog is an abomination to a Jew. A hog pen, a backslidden Jew don't want to be in a hog pen. And that's where he ended up. God's trying to give us a picture, and he's trying to give these Pharisees a picture about this boy, that he went as low away from his family and away from his upbringing and away from his religious heritage that he could go. He was a Hebrew living in a hog pen. But can I tell you something else about the far country? Hallelujah. The far country will prove, if you ever go there, you know somebody that's there, you got a kid that's there, you got a church member that went to the far country. Can I tell you something about the far country? The far country will prove once and for all your sonship. There ain't never been a hog in a hog pen that said, I believe I'll go home to the Father. But that boy knew he could go home to his Father. Amen. You watch someone get out in the far country, amen. They're son of God. They get to a low place. I'm just telling you, God will draw them back home. But a hog has a hog nature, and he's never coming back home, for the hog pen is his home. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Here's a son, and here's a father allowing his son to experience for himself the consequences of leaving home and going to the far country. And I know Brother Chris talked about this the other night, too. We talked about it the other day. Somebody said, well, does the prodigal represent the sinner or the backslidden saint? All I can tell you is both. Amen. I mean, when you read it, I mean, he's a son, but he got found. Amen. All right. It's both. Amen. Now, I want you to watch this. In our first story, the Bible said, when when he had found it. That shepherd had that lost sheep, and it said when he had found it.
Right.
Are you listening?
Come on, preacher.
And in the second story, there was a lost coin, and the Bible said when she had found it.
Right.
And this brings me to my next point. Amen. No matter if it was a he or she, someone was looking.
Yeah.
Amen. There's someone that's lost. Can I tell you that's what soul winning is all about? Or in some cases, soul warning. Amen. Some of you say, I never want a soul. Just keep warning souls. Amen. That's what missions is about. Missions is about someone's lost and someone else is looking. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone's lost, and that's why we have these missionaries tonight. That's why this brother's going to Zimbabwe, a.k.a. Zambia. Amen. All right. That's why this brother's going to Russia, Siberia. That's why the brother's going up to New York City. That's why anybody else who's been here is going to be here. It's going where they're going. Amen. Because we're looking for a lost sheep. We're looking for a lost coin. Amen. We're looking for a lost son. Amen. That's why we do what we do. Amen. Because we have the heart of God in us. Amen. And the heart of God is a heart for sinners. Amen. God so loved the world. Hey, listen, can I just tell you when mission started? Because people think missions is a New Testament church concept. Oh, no, friend. Mission started in Genesis chapter number 3. Amen. The first time a person sinned against God, God became a missionary. Amen.
Yes.
God left his home. He left everything behind. Then he came to this earth. You know what he was doing? He was looking for two sinners that was lost in their sin. Amen. And Jesus, when God became flesh and dwelt among us, he said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. And if you ever get the heart of God in you, you'll spend the rest of your life seeking and saving that which is lost. Lost. Amen.
Amen.
That's what drives us to drive. Listen, you think we like driving all over the country, one place to another? You think we don't ever get tired? You think we like driving across the world, flying across the world? Amen. All that. Listen, and you say, preacher, I know that. And I'm not trying to talk about how hard it is. I'm just trying to tell you what drives us, amen, is the love of Christ constrains us. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came looking for sinners. And I'm telling you, he's given us his heart. And he's given us his vision. And he's given us his passion. And we must do what he did. We've been called to follow in his steps. Amen. Someone was looking in the story of the lost sheep. The shepherd represents the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the good shepherd who'd give his life for the sheep. And watch this. Watch this, guys. In the story of the lost silver, the woman represents the sweet spirit of God. Amen. Lighting the candle of a man's conscience and sweeping the heart as he searches diligently, looking for that which is lost. Amen. And in the story of the lost sons, the heavenly father is clearly seen looking for his son who's went astray. Amen. You got the Godhead involved in missions. Amen. Verse 20, the Bible said when he was a great way off, his father saw him. Amen. Father, can I just say something? Can I just give a word of hope real quickly to you if you're lost tonight, or if you're watching and you're lost, or if you're some backslidden rebel, you've wandered far away from God. Can I tell you, if you're saved by the, forget being saved by the grace of God. Can I tell you, if you're alive, you got breath in you, you say, well, I'm running from God. Well, I'm going to just tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said, if I make my bed in heaven, or if I take wings and go to heaven, behold, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And what I've learned in my life and reading this Bible, understanding this Bible, is that when you try to run away from God, you're running into God. Amen. You say, I'm running to the far country. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you're going to run right back into God because God's there waiting on you when you get there. Amen. 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 This my son was lost. There's a father looking. Again, the last words in the story are these. Thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Can I just say this? And again, I know that I'm talking parenting a little more than I wanted to here this evening. But listen, can I just tell you that if you have a son or daughter who's wayward and lost, never stop looking. Never stop praying. Someone may say, well, Brother Upman, the father in this passage never went looking for the wayward son. Well, the shepherd went looking physically for the sheep. The woman went looking physically for the silver. But see, men are a little different animals than silver. They have a heart, they have a spirit, they have a free will. And so I would beg to differ, and where someone would say he never went looking, I'd say he never quit looking.
Right.
He never quit looking, amen. He just looked in a different way. He looked to the Lord in prayer for his son, amen.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'd never cease to amaze me. I'd get on that phone, and brother, I can FaceTime, I can Skyping's kind of outdated now, amen. I can go Facebook Live, and I'm telling you, there's a satellite running around up there, brother, and I can be teaching my Bible Institute live from right here, and I'm going to tell you, in Ghana, on the other side of the world, they're watching with no time delay. You say, what's going on? I'm talking apparently to a satellite, and the satellite's talking to them, amen? Can I just tell you tonight, amen? You say, well, I've got a child that's wandered far away from God. Well, can I tell you God's where he's at, amen? You get on your knees where you are. Don't try to chase him down, manipulate him in the living right. You just get on your knees before God in prayer, and God's better than any old satellite, amen? You never get in a place where there's no coverage, amen? Amen, God's there, and God hears, and God will answer. You just keep on praying, amen and amen. But see, that boy, the silver and the sheep had to be found, but that boy would have to come home on his own, amen, because he had a free will. Can I tell you the best way for that to be accomplished is to pray to the God of heaven who still rules in the affairs of men. You think it was an accident that a mighty famine came to the land? Oh no, there's a father who's praying, amen. There's a God who's answering, amen. And God starts arranging circumstances. And God starts making things a little tight down there for the boy. And a little tighter. And a little tighter. Until he got lower and lower and into a hog pen. Yeah, that didn't just happen. The prayers of a father and the prayers of a mother will hasten the hand of God in the repentance and the coming home of their children, amen. I can't tell you how many sons and daughters have wandered far away from God in sin and have been found out by God in their hearts because of the fervent prayers of a brokenhearted mommy and daddy. Amen. In fact, can I just give one more answer to the suggestion that the father never went looking for the wayward son? This whole story is a wonderful illustration of a heavenly father who would love you and I so much that he would leave the glories of heaven and come to a sin-cursed earth and suffer and bleed and die on an old rugged cross in order that he might seek and save that which was lost. Amen. Someone was lost. Someone was looking. Here's our last point. You say, preacher, you're going to make it. I'm going to make it, I think. Amen. Someone was located. Amen. Someone was lost. And someone was looking. Boy, sure does encourage us when someone gets located. Amen. When someone gets found. Now, I want you to listen real closely. In the parable of the sheep, it wasn't convenient to secure the 99 and go find the one, but he did. And in the parable of the silver, it wasn't comfortable to have to light a candle and spend the night looking and sweeping and searching diligently and losing sleep till she found it, but she did. And in the parable of the lost, man, I tell you, man, I'm telling you, man, I just remember when I was a prodigal, amen, and was running far away from God, and my dad, who was a pastor, and man, I'm so glad he came looking for me, amen. In the parable of the lost sons, can I just tell you, things weren't so clean when he found his boy. You see, that Hebrew's in a hog pen, but that Hebrew boy's had a Hebrew father. And when that Hebrew son came back to his Hebrew father, can I tell you what he did? He didn't say, hey, I'll get my hired servant, like Brother Chris preached about the other night, or I'll get that one that's worth double hire, or I'll get that one that knows me more than the other, and go out there and clean that boy up before he comes to me. No, no, no. I'm telling you, say, well, I'll tell you, my boy ain't coming home, bless God, until he's willing to crawl over broken glass, amen, and grovel and say 43,000 Hail Marys in the Baptist way, amen, and then I'll watch him for 6 years to see if he's serious, and we're killing our young people, and I'm telling you, we're killing them with that attitude, amen. Oh, that boy ran, his father ran to where he was. It wasn't comfortable for that old man to go running to him. He went out. I mean, the Bible said he saw him a long way off. That means he's looking all the time. Looking, looking, looking. When he saw him, he ran down there. And I'm going to tell you something. Those Pharisees didn't like this story. They didn't like the fact that Jesus fellowship with sinners. And they sure didn't like this story because that father ran down there. Where'd that boy come from? A hog pen. What did he have? No money. He couldn't stop and get a shower somewhere. That boy with his mouth had been feeding at the hog trough. Amen. He'd been out in sin. He is messed up. He is filthy. He was filthy. He was filthy. And the Bible said his father ran to him and grabbed him around his neck and started kissing him. Amen. He's kissing that boy. Man, them Hebrews didn't like that. You mark it down. They didn't like that at all. Amen. I mean, how could a Hebrew father kiss a son who's been down there with the hogs? He's still got hog slop on his neck. He's still got hog slop and hog manure. And that rich Hebrew father is down there with his arms around his neck. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, one of the problems we got with our churches today and our independent Baptist churches, and I'm just going to say it, one of the problems we have with our churches and one of the reasons our soul winning programs are dead and one of the reasons the missions programs died in this country is because we've lost compassion on those whom God Almighty still loves. Amen. We're so holy and we're so straight and we're so tight that God doesn't even hold to our standard. Amen. You know I'm telling the truth. Amen. You know I preached this week on the holiness of God, and I believe in the holiness of God. But I'm telling you, when we step into a realm and we think we're more holy than God, amen, and we can't fellowship with sinners, amen, and we can't let someone who comes back and says, I'm repentant and I'm sorry, back into the fold, amen, we better go back and remember what God did for us when he saved us, amen. Amen, amen, amen. How many of you ever been close to a pig pen? Smells like pearls and lace, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. Makes you think of Bath and Body Works when you go down there, doesn't it? No, sir. This boy was nasty. He was filthy. He was stinky. Amen. But in all that filth and mire, his father still recognized, that's my son. Hallelujah. Amen. He ignored the slop. He ignored the mire. Amen. He kissed his boy. He knew his boy was coming home. And would to God, I'm not preaching to the Pharisees. Jesus preaching to, they're dead and gone. I'm preaching to us today. Amen. If you're sitting here listening to my voice, I'm preaching to you. Amen. Amen. I'm not preaching about them to them. I'm preaching about them and us to you and us. Amen. Would to God we had the love and compassion this daddy had when his boy came home. When we dealt with dirty sinners and backslidden saints. Amen. I've seen preachers meet sinners at the door and tell them they're not welcome. And as recently as a month ago. Oh, yeah. I have. We've had men walk into our church, brother. I'm not making this stuff up. Reeking of alcohol. And as long as I know they're not going to distract the service, amen. They come in. I'm sitting down in the front of our church. God's, man, I'm sitting at the front of our church. Fella come in. Man, he's out of his head. But he wasn't going to distract. He sat down. He fell asleep, man. He's drunk. He's gone. We sang Power in the Blood. We got ready to pray. Woke up on the second song. But when we were praying, I felt movement. And I looked over, and he had reached into his big old leather coat, and he pulled out a long can, one of those big cans of alcohol. And we're in church. And I just leaned over and said, friend. He said, yes. I said, let me take that for you. Woo! Yeah. Walked out of the church, dumped it in the dumpster, amen. Walked back in and started preaching to him, amen. Amen. I'm telling you. And it wasn't long after that, I'm telling you, I watched another preacher in a similar situation and didn't even give the man a chance to get rid of the alcohol, amen. Send him packing. You got that, you're not welcome here. Can I tell you, when we're not welcome for publicans and sinners, amen, we're not welcome for the God of heaven, amen. Amen and amen. This boy memorized his lines. I believe probably all the way home, he was saying, I have sinned, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make thee as one of my hired servants. And I think he was probably saying that all the way, brother. Amen. Just, man, I want to just make sure my dad understands. I really want to come home. I really want to come home. I need to come home. And I'm telling you, his father's hugging him, and he's kissing him, and he's probably weeping his way back to his father, and he's saying, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And his father said, stop! Bring forth the best robe, amen, and put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let his seed be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Can I tell you, for all the self-righteous older brothers that I found myself to be at times, amen, his daddy didn't care how filthy he was in this moment. He was just glad that his boy was found. And I know that bothers people when I say it. It used to bother me when other people said it. Amen. I just didn't quite understand all this stuff. You say, well, no, his father did care. In that moment, his father was glad that he'd come home. Amen. I said earlier, his father ignored the slop and mire and kissed his boy. And it bothered. It bothered somebody. I know it did. Because every time I preach it, somebody talked to me later on. And they'll say, well, you know, hey, listen. You said that his father ignored the slop and mire and kissed his boy. And you said that he didn't care about the sin he was in at that moment. He was just glad that his boy was found. Can I just tell you, if you just read that text again, he said, hey, bring the best robe and put it on him. And bring hither the fatted calf, amen. And let's get the ring and put shoes. I mean, he's going all out for his boy. In that moment, he was glad. He didn't care about the sin his boy was in. It's covered. He was glad the boy had come home, amen. Can I just tell you something else too, real quickly? That boy knew
his father would take him back in, or he would never come home.
Amen.
And if I could just suggest for a minute, some of the reasons that some of our boys and girls aren't coming home is because they don't know. They don't know that their father and their mother will accept them back in. Amen. And I'm not talking about bringing a boy back into the home, amen, that still wants to live in the hog pen. Amen. I'm not talking about bringing a boy back in the home that still wants to live in fornication and sin. Amen. But I'm saying I've been raised in this thing. I hate to call it a movement, but I've been raised in the movement. Amen. And I've been raised around the best of the best. I'm just telling you, man, preachers in my family, all over my family. Amen. I'm just telling you, I've watched time and again where people came back, got right with God, and they were made to grovel, and because they didn't say I'm sorry right and didn't illustrate it long enough, and because they a little flesh showed 3 months down the road, amen, out the door they go, and we kick them right back to the hog pen. Amen. Hey, listen, you say, well, it's getting light, we quit, amen, and because you told us after 20 minutes. Well, I appreciate that. Amen. All right. Home into my word. Let me just tell you this. If you were ever out there lost, you better listen to me. If you were ever out there lost, I'm going to say that again. If you were ever out there lost, if you, as a son of God, ever backslid on God, if you ever found yourself far from home, and if you have ever had to live with the pain and the regret and the sorrow and the shame.
Come on.
If you ever were where the psalmist was in Psalm 51, when he cried out, my sin is ever. God's forgiven him, but brother, he can't get past his failure. If you've ever failed God at that level, if you've ever wounded by sin of your own making, I get it, so deep that you wondered when you were in sin if you could even be healed again, you would be rejoicing with the Father when another sinner came home. Amen. You would be like Mary, who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears and loved much because she had been forgiven much. Amen. But sadly, I think there's probably a few, maybe even in church tonight. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I'm certainly not in your head. But you know if you are. There might be a few here today who are like the other lost son in the parable. I'm just about done. He didn't wander far away from home. But notice in verse 25, the Bible said he came. I want you to watch this. Don't get tired and lose it right now. I want you to get this. He came and drew nigh to the house. But verse 28 says he was angry and he would not go in. I want to tell you, the younger son wasn't the only son who wandered away from home. He may have went to the far country, but the elder brother was wandering in his heart. He may have wandered out in sin. That older one was wandering, amen, on the inside. But wandering is wandering. Amen. Listen, he wandered about while his younger brother was wandering in sin. I think this young man was wandering in his self-righteousness and pride. Amen. And given, watch it. Given the opportunity to go home and fellowship with the Father, he wouldn't do it. The prodigal came home and fellowshipped. The silver at the end of the story is found in the house. The lost sheep is found and brought back to the fold. We end up with this chapter. There's only one that's not in the house. And it's the one who didn't wander far away out in the far country. He's the one who sat in church. He's the one who watched others wander out and looked down his nose and said, well, that filthy bum, that lousy person, and held grudges for the pastor and held grudges for the parents, amen. And then when the pastor and the parents want to forgive, we're still mad, amen. And then we lose fellowship with the church and we lose fellowship with the family because somebody had forgiveness and mercy and compassion on someone who was lost. Amen, amen, and amen. The elder brother just never demonstrated that anger and that self-righteousness and that pride that was on the inside until he was faced with his younger brother coming home. He wasn't, hey, just back up here because I feel like I need to establish that a little more. You say, well, he was angry because the father gave him his inheritance. He divided them their inheritance. He wasn't angry because of that. He was angry because look how I've served my father. Look how I've done all these good things. Look, I've never missed a church service. I've never ever went out and drank alcohol. I've never went out and done this running around. I've been faithful. And I come back, they've never had a party for me. They've never rejoiced and shouted around the church because I got right with God. Amen. Maybe it's because you never got right with God. Amen. Amen. There's pride. And this older brother represented the Pharisees who murmured because Jesus received sinners. And as far as we know, the Pharisees never got right. The prodigal came in, but the Pharisees are out. The Gentiles are in, but the Pharisees are out. Yes, and as far as I know, the younger brother, at the end of the story, he's in fellowship with the father, but the older brother is still outside the house. If the father is going to fellowship with sinners, then I will not fellowship with the father. When did our churches turn into self-righteous, holier-than-thou, look down our nose at every sinner that walks through the door? Amen. When did we become like that? You say, we're not like that. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm not with this. I'm an old-time, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist, and I'm not apologizing for it. I'm not this new IFB. You heard about what I thought about them the other day. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been raised in churches, and I've been raised around people. I've watched churches when I was a kid, brother. I've watched churches. I've watched anger. I've watched fistfights in business meetings. I've watched sinners come in and get thrown out of the front doors of a church. Amen. I'm talking about throwing out the front doors of the church like you throw a man out in a barroom brawl out of a double-door disco. Amen. I've watched it. I was raised in that kind of fundamentalism. No compassion for sinners. We're up here. They're down there. We only go to the good parts of town to try to reach people for our church. We're never bringing those snotty. Our church isn't for those little snotty-nosed kids. Hey, we'll support missionaries in Africa, but bless God, we wouldn't support an African coming into our church. I know churches right now that support this missionary, and some of you do too, amen. And the pastor called me, and I'm telling you, and it wasn't that long ago, Brother Patton, and he called me, and because he wanted to bring a mixed family into the membership of the church, amen. They've been out in sin, there's a mixed marriage, and he wanted to bring them to the membership. The church gave the pastor the ultimatum, amen. And that pastor been there over 30 years. I'm just telling you, these are some inconvenient truths for us independent Baptists, amen. But every now and then, we need to be reminded of these things, amen. Amen. I want to make a statement that's going to sound a little bit tough, and I'm done. I promise. It's 9:20. I don't know how long I've went. I hope I haven't broke my promise too bad, amen. If I do, I hope you fellowship with sinners in the fellowship hall, amen. All right. Amen. But could it be that the reason the soul winning program is dying in our churches? See, things trickle down. Could it be that the soul winning program is dying in our churches? The visitation program is dying in our churches? The mission program is dying in our churches because we have too many self-righteous older brothers sitting in the church pews with no compassion and no mercy and no forgiveness in their heart towards sinners. After all, they made their beds. They can sleep in it. And don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. I've heard all of these things from the pulpits of Baptist churches. Amen. And we've lost our compassion. I'm not talking about condoning sin at all. I'm not talking about bringing people in that are living in sin and try to put us on a guilt trip because we won't forgive them. Amen. I can't show mercy, sir, where you can't be truthful. Amen. I sat with a boy 3 weeks ago and said, or 4 weeks ago, and said, I want to show you mercy, son, but until you tell me the truth, I can't. I'm not talking about bringing people in that's living in sin, but I'm talking about, hey, when they come and they want to get right with God and they want to get saved, they've come home, amen. Just make me as one of the hired servants. We're too good, and our church is too good for them, amen. If we're going to see our visitation programs full again, if we're going to see our soul-winning efforts doubled, if we're going to see our missions program multiply, maybe first, I think it'd just help us all to do a good self-examination, amen, and repent of self-righteousness and pride, and humble ourselves again before God. Because pride, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. You know how you grow in grace? He gives grace to the humble. You want the grace of missions given to increase? You want the grace of soul winning to increase? You want graces to increase? Let's get humble before God. Amen. Maybe we need to experience. You know what? I figured out, Brother Chris. A Pharisee can't never show mercy. He can't because he's never experienced mercy. And maybe that's what's wrong with our churches as well. Amen. Maybe some of us can't show mercy because we've never really ever needed to experience mercy. God help us. Lord, I've preached. I know. I struggled all day. Three different ways I wanted to go tonight. But I know I've preached exactly what you wanted me to preach. Lord, I pray we'd examine our hearts tonight. I pray we'd examine. You said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I know this is a missions conference, and that's one of the reasons I struggled going here, Lord, because this isn't as much of a missions message. I really do believe that the Holy Ghost has put his finger on a problem within our missions program. I do. I believe one of the reasons we're not giving like we could to reach sinners and we're not going like we could to reach sinners is because we've lost our compassion. Some of us never had it to start with. God, help us, I pray, to humble ourselves before God and examine our heart and to find where we are in these three parables, because all of us in this room are represented in these parables. We are. I pray you'd help us to find out which one represents us. God, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Altars are open. I don't even know how to have the altar call except to say, if the Lord's dealt with your heart, come down and do business with the Lord. Amen.